Do you want to know what makes a knowledge grow? Then everybody watch Dean Charles.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum, the greetings of peace. Peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. Today we have another exciting show. We're going to be talking about our youth. This is for everybody. Everyone can benefit because somebody is a youth or you got some kids, teens that are out there and some of them are getting in some trouble. So when we come back, we're going to have our brother all the way from Minnesota, Imam Sheikh Hassan. And then we'll tell you his nickname that people call him when we come back here on The Dean Show.
Dean. Allah, there's only one God and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace be with you, my brother.
Alhamdulillah. Thanks, brother Adi.
Thank you for being with us.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for inviting me in this important occasion. Thanks.
Yes. You also have a nickname. I heard that some of the youth and people,
Sheikh Hassan Jami'i. That's what they call me, Jami'i.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're the cool sheikh.
Inshallah. Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes they say, they call me Sheikh Shabab,
uh-huh.
Which means the Sheikh of Youth. I always involve in all youth uh-huh. activities or issues, all the time I'm with them. Yeah. You can say 24/7 I'm with them. So
you're with the youth, but you get serious now, because that is serious business too, but you're also an attorney, you're a professor at the Islamic University. Talk to us a little bit about yourself.
I teach, I'm adjunct professor of William Mitchell College of Law.
Uh-huh.
I teach Islamic law, introduction to Islamic law. Basically, it is like a comparative type of subject. What I do is I teach a law school student is principle of Islamic laws, and then I compare to the principles of American legal system.
Mm-hmm.
I also teach Islamic University of Minnesota, which is the only Islamic university in Minnesota. I teach two subjects. One is it's called Madkhal Tashri' al-Islami in Arabic, which means introduction to the Islamic law, and the other one is al-Fiqh al-Islami, especially Fiqh al-Awwal, which means Fiqh 1 that focuses on Ibadat, especially rules related to the Salah from A to Z. I teach that one. I work for Legal Aid Society of Minneapolis. I'm a legal advocate. I do immigration work, which means anything related to the immigration law, almost. Mm-hmm. I do help most of immigrants. Majority of them are Somalis or Muslims or Oromo or East Africanists, but I do help Hispanic community, Hmong community, Arab and other communities coming to our office for seeking free legal services. We are free legal service, and I do also presentations about their rights, know your rights, especially what's your rights when it comes to the homeland security. I do that. And this is a good connection to my office because, for example, we have youth who have a problem and they end up to the deportation procedure. And then as an immigration unit office, we try to help them to find way out from this deportation procedure, which mm-hmm. sometimes is very difficult, especially for the Somalis.
So you're very active. You're out there not only helping the Muslim community, but you're helping anyone, Hispanic, African-American, Caucasian, doesn't matter.
Yes.
You're out there, and that's what Muslims should be doing. They should
exactly,
be people
yes,
who are yeah. benefiting the community, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. It's not only that. What I also do is I'm board member of Red Cross of Minnesota, and I've been board member since 2007-2008. I'm also a member of advisory committee to the both chief of the police of Minneapolis and chief of the police of mm-hmm. St. Paul.
Yeah.
So there is here also a good connection to the police system, so I can help those young people out of trouble.
Okay, and that's our topic today, the young youth, the Shabab, would you say?
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of them today are out, as some of us who've been in Jahiliyyah, you get caught up and you get mixed up in the cultural norms. And you got colors, some killing each other over red and blue, some killing each other over boyfriends and girlfriends. Yo, you talking to my girl. No, you talking to my guy. And next thing you know, the guns are being pulled. And now you got some even doing stick-up. All sorts of things are going on.
Exactly.
Are the movies to blame? Are the parents to blame? Are we to blame? Let's talk about this, and you can give us some real situations that you've encountered.
Yeah, it is, I remember always two poems. It is, both of them are Arabic. Let me translate them in English. One says like "لو كان سهما واحدا لاتقيته ولكن اثنين وثالث ورابع," which means when you are in defense and in the battle, if one arrow could face you, you can defend yourself. It's only one arrow. But the poet says, if it's more than one arrows coming from different directions, you will have difficult to defend yourself. And that's the situation of our young people today. Like many problems, fitna, if you want to call that, and all types of the social problems coming from every direction, they cannot stand alone to resolve those problems. They need help. Mm-hmm. And then another poem that I remember, according to your question, which is very important, I love that poem. That poem says in English, like, "You threw me in a big ocean in the dark of the night and a big wave, and you did not teach me how to swim. And at the same time, you tied my two hands and legs. How will I survive?" That's the meaning of the poem. Mm-hmm. So this person will never survive.
Yeah.
So that means like I'm talking this now about the Somalis, Oromos. Oromos are East African immigrant communities who live also about 10,000 in Minnesota. So when they come or they came to Minnesota or to America, they are not well equipped to know about the system, about the culture, and they are blind. So. And they end up to find out like way out from where they are when they face all these difficulties, and they create your own system, or they might join to the system exist, the system that says like we can help you, and that's why when you ask like these young people, I talk to them, they are with me right now. So I and Sheikh Nalan, so assistant imam, we have 6 young people who are with us. We are 8 of us right now.
Yeah.
So 2 of them were like street boys, and one of them was from gang system.
Yeah, that's like the street boys, like out and being in gangs and on the streets,
yes,
running.
And then we divide them. Sometimes like street boys still attending the schools, but we have street boys who are in the gang system but left the school, dropped the school, and do all types of the bad things, harming, hurting people, and snitching and all this. So we divide and categorize them. But one of them was even like gang leader. He organized.
The head.
Yes, head of.
Headman.
Headman, well armed.
Yeah.
Doing all that, mm-hmm. like violence.
How did you deal with him now?
Okay, this example, like the one that who is with me right now, he has been with me almost the last since 2007.
He left us now.
He left the gang system. And the way it was like there was a fight one time, and that fight caused him almost to slaughter him, like from neck down to the
opposing gang almost cut his
his neck.
This was a street gang fight.
Gang fight, yeah. And he ended up to the hospital, and he has been there. He has been in coma for 30 days. 30 days.
He was in coma.
He was in coma.
So he's not anymore.
And then what happened was, the doctor said after that he might die. No, he had like a life support system. And then family and doctor, the family signed that he cannot be anymore in this system.
Yeah.
Let him die. Like, mm-hmm. And then doctor gave like signing papers that he might die after 6 hours.
6 hours?
Yes.
He was almost dead. Let's hold it right there. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back to hear this story. Back on the Deen Show.
Well, they often say to me, "Why have you become a Muslim?" No, I give a very frivolous answer. I say, "I want to be on the side of the angels."
Tupac is a guy, he's the number one rap artist in the world. He sold over 60 million records worldwide.
60 million?
60 million. He was a young guy who had basically everything that some of the youth would think that life is all about. He had everything you can imagine.
The Dean Show.
Back here on The Dean Show, we're talking about the brother. He was in a coma, and they disconnected the life support. He was on life support?
Yes.
Talk to us. What happened then?
Okay, what happened was the doctor came and told the family that he will die after 6 hours. And then we fortunately came from the mosque. So our young people, what we do is, like, as an imam leading those young people, we visit hospitals. By the way, we visit also non-Muslims. And yeah. We wish them well.
Yeah.
So, and we went to the hospital. So one of the members of the hospital told us, there is a young boy that is about to die. Would you please go and bless and read some type of supplications? And then I said, like, oh, this is the right time. And because he's young, I'm leading young people, I want them to reflect to this person. And mm-hmm. we had some type of his stories and background and the fight, the gang fight that he has been and all this. We came and we saw, like, a man. But whenever we came, what's surprising was the doctor told us there's a type of movement, his body, he feels, but he cannot move at all.
Yeah.
And then, as an imam, I went and I put his hand on my hand. I said, we are going to read some Quran on you, and we ask Allah, God, to give you shifa.
Now, Quran is the verbatim word of God Almighty Allah.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's basically, and Muslims traditionally, whenever they are sick or whenever they're not feeling well, they use it as a medicine.
So is this like we're doing ruqya on him?
Exactly. Okay. We did ruqya, which means like reading specific verses or surah or chapters of the Quran on the body of the sick person.
Okay.
That's what we did. And then after that, we were at the end, I said this. I said, like, Abdul Qadir, I know the doctor says this is your end and it is the last momentum of your journey, but we believe in Allah, which means whatever is destiny. So you might die today, you might not die today. But I asked this question. This is what happened. I said, like, your hand is on my hand. Will you promise, if God give you life back, that you will join to Da'wah Caravan? We have a youth Da'wah Caravan, mm-hmm. Which means like a group of youth trying to help street boys and girls right now, not only boys anymore.
Yeah.
So out of the street, out of the violence, will you help us? Will you promise?
It's now, like, he's on his deathbed. This is
yes,
it. You
yes,
make a choice. You're going to do good or you can continue doing evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? This is the first time even the nurse watching moved his head, saying like,
SubhanAllah.
Yes. This was like a miracle. We did finished all type of ruqya, which means like recitation on his body, recitation of the Holy Quran, and we left. And then, after a few days, we found that he's alive. And then, a couple months, they brought him back to his home. Anyway, finally, he ended up coming back to the real life, and he came to the mosque.
Yeah.
And we saw him walking, coming to the Islamic center.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long after was this? After
it's after a couple months. A
few months?
Yes, few months.
Yeah.
And then he said, yeah, do you remember me? I said, like, I remember you. He said, like, I'm here for the promise.
Now, he kept his word. He was true to his
yes,
word.
Yes, yes.
Allah healed him.
Yes.
Took care of him, and now he came back.
And then
he
said, like, I'm paying. I have to pay back to Allah.
Yes.
And then I said, like, okay, here is the young people I introduced to the young people, and then we start helping him, like, rehabilitate. We put him, like, a process called like a process of rehabilitation, young people who came out from this type of the life, which requires, like, a lot. And then after long discussion, we agreed, because our center has apartments, like, the first floor is mosque,
mm-hmm.
and the second floor are apartments. So most of the time, if we think like we have a young person who's qualified to put him there, we move him there. And that is like type of isolation from the rest of the society.
Yeah.
So and then he has to follow rules because we don't want him to be connected back to the gang system.
Yeah.
And he was head of the gang. He was not a member of the gang.
Yeah.
And you know how many calls that who could receive all this. No cell phones. Nothing.
So some discipline here now.
Discipline. So we call like a tarbiyah.
Yeah.
So, and then I put him...
Define tarbiya for some non-Muslims.
Tarbiya means like it's like Islamic disciplining system that helps the person not only physical discipline, it is like mosaic or comprehensive type of the discipline.
Yeah.
It's spiritual, educational, physical. So physical exercise, we have a Sheikh Nalan who was teaching him martial artists.
Martial arts also.
Yes, yeah, to balance his life.
Yeah.
And he's one of the students of the martial arts.
Keep him busy doing good.
Exactly. And then educational, we have two types of the educational. Attending the programs that we have, we call like a halaqa. Halaqa means like Islamic circles. He's studying like how to pray and how to read the Quran. That's the first time after 10 years involving with the gang system. Nothing to do with the Quran or with the good things. And then I registered him with the GED program. GED program is the program that qualify you to go to college after 3 or 2 years.
Yeah.
It depends on like how far.
So you got a complete system.
Yes, it is a complete system.
Tell us, because we only have a little bit of time. We want to hit a certain few more important points. Tell us, for those youth and parents who are trying to get some advice for their youth, the parents might have not been implementing the way of life that the Creator wants them to implement. Islam, total complete submission to the will of the Creator, not their desires. Yeah. So the TV's been raising the kids.
Yes, now one of the big teachers.
The music, the hip-hop, and Tupac, and 50 Cent, and all these, and it's innocent. They leave the kids in front of the TV, and now they wonder why things, and they're acting and imitating these other people. Mm-hmm. Give some advice now to those parents whose children are in gangs. The women also, they might be out there going to the nightclubs, and now you have their attention. Mm-hmm. The children, the youth are listening, and the parents. What do you counsel them to do?
You see, first of all, I don't know if every masjid can afford to have like people who can be like murabbi. In Islam, we have like a category of the people like who are in the mosque or Islamic centers. A teacher, imam, murabbi. Murabbi is someone who has like a comprehensive type of Islamic knowledge. Not only he knows how to teach, but not only he can lead the salah and he knows rules of the salah, but he has practical approach to resolve people's problem. So that person is called like murabbi. So my point is like we need first of all many murabbi, and murabbi is the one that the kid in front of him. Not only he teaches the Quran and the kid lives, but he's connected to the kid and his daily life. So what even he does when he's at home. So for example, we have like a program that what do you do when you're at home. So three type of the program to help your mom and your dad. So for example, one of the part of the tarbiyah is once you come from the school, you kiss your mom and dad and you say thank you all the time. And you say like whatever you did like for me, I cannot pay it back.
Never, yeah.
But thank you.
Yeah.
And then you ask the first question, before I do the homework, what you want me to do? How can I help you?
Yeah.
That's what we teach our young people. And the second is do your homework, the school duties. And number three is disconnection from TV in case that you want to watch TV, only the news, because you don't have enough time to watch the TV. And basically, like for example, our center, we have like homework club. We want the students to come to the mosque and do their homework. People who have difficulties, we have tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have coaches. Like, for example, East Africans, they love soccer. We have a soccer coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are trying to get like a basketball coach. So that's the physical part. And we have martial artists in the mosque. So students who are attending.
So taking away the non-allowed things, the haram, and replacing it with halal.
Yes. And then during the play, we do teach them even like, for example, not to use any bad language. For example, they're playing and one hits the other one. So the one hit says like, astaghfirullah, and the other one says...
The F word something like that.
Yeah, to avoid all bad things and still say like, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we advise the parents most of the time to bring them to this program, because if they bring them, the kids will involve these programs and they become good examples. And the other Muslim kids and even non-Muslim kids will help. Like for example, like we have like 30, we help like almost in a year about 50 young people, non-Muslims became Muslims because of the example of our young Muslims.
the non-Muslims accepted this way of life because they saw the kids transforming
to be better? 13-year-old. This is the best example that I can share with you. David, 13-year-old, Caucasian. He saw like young from Masjid Da'wah. And he was saying like, I want to be like you.
Yeah.
He said like, what do you mean? Because I'm 13, but I'm involving drugs. Mm-hmm. Boyfriend and girlfriend. I do all this bad stuff. But you don't do it.
Yeah.
How did you get all this? And he said that I'm connected to this Islamic center.
Yeah.
And he explained. Do you know what happened? His father, non-Muslim, called me.
Yeah, let's hold it there. He called you. David's father called you.
Yes.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners, that's wrong.
Yeah.
If any Christian can point out a single unambiguous statement where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I am God, I'm ready to accept Christianity.
Back here on the Dean Show, we're trying to share with you some experiences from the youth and some advice. And you're talking to us about David's father.
Yeah, David's father called me, said like, I'm David's father. I'm not a Muslim. I don't know nothing about Islam. But David has a friend from your center. And David is involved in many bad things. I wanted my son become like one of the best students. He's about to drop this school.
Yeah.
And is it true, like, if someone joins to your center, becomes, like, drug-free? And he talked all...
The word is spreading. You come here, you're not swearing, drug-free, gang-free.
Yes, gang-free, everything. Yeah. Like, bad things, you'll be free. And then, you know, he said, he wants to accept Islam. I said, Father, do you agree that your son accepts Islam? Because this is the key. Because if he accepts Islam, he has to follow certain rules. And those rules are the ones that guide him to be free from all this. Say, that's like, I want him to accept Islam. Yeah. Can I send him tonight? And he came, night time, the mosque with the young people. David said, as usual, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, accepting the Islam.
Now tell us, let's start with that. We got to start to wrap it up. When you say accept Islam, what does that mean? Because there might be some people out there now,
yes,
they're thinking that, you know, they accept Islam and what, they're going to be terrorists now, or they accept Islam, they're going to be doing...
Accept Islam to change his life. So he doesn't want to be like involve all types of the drug things. And alcohol, young people drinking like a beer and all bad things. He wants to be like a nice boy, good grade, and avoid from all types of the violence.
You said thing that he declared, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Yeah, that means Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When a person says, means like, I bear witness there's only one God, and that God has a book called like Holy Quran, and I will follow that teachings. And that teachings, part of it is avoid all bad things, drinking, drugs, violence, and all this.
Yeah.
And then you are saying like, I will have only one example. When you say like, I bear witness, Prophet Muhammad's final messenger means like, I want to have only one example to follow, and the human example is Prophet Muhammad. So he was not drug dealer, he was not violent person, he was not like a man that hits his kids, and all bad examples in every aspect, as a father, as a son, as a brother. I want to follow that person as an example. That's the meaning. And that's what David accept and changed his life.
For the better.
For the better. And his family loved him. Even his uncle came ahead that he wants to take him.
Yeah, 30 seconds we got. Tell us where this community center is, so if someone wants to drop by and visit.
478 University Avenue West, St. Paul, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And our telephone number is 651-224-6726.
Yeah.
And we have a website, www.mndawah, which is DAWAH.net.
Mm-hmm. And you have some event coming up, you said?
Yes, we have the first annual Muslim Youth Convention on May 29th at the Convention Center in Minneapolis. We're expecting more than about 2,000 young people coming to that convention, from our experience.
That's on the website, the information will be
there? Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you for being with us. May Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, reward you in abundance.
Thanks, Brother Eddie, for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. You're welcome. And in short, you've gotten to learn again that call to the perfect system. Your kids might be out there getting involved in all sorts of drugs and killing each other over colors and following the worst of examples. But when that person comes to the realization that all the other systems, they won't perfect a human being's life. Your moral code that you are born with gets off track. You want to get back on track as the one who created you to guide you. He is one and alone worthy of worship, and he sent the best examples for you to follow. Moses, Jesus, Abraham, these were messengers and prophets of God, and the last and final messenger sent to mankind. This is a living example. Today we have his living example recorded in authentic tradition, so we have the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and his explanation of it, the hadith, the sunnah. This is the example. Just like Jesus was an example at that time, Abraham was an example at that time, we have the last and final messenger. And you see the outcome that comes from this, worshiping the one God alone, establishing a connection with him through the prayer, the fasting, and leaving off all vices, drugs, alcohol, and dating. And you see what happens, illegitimate children. No, you come together to marry in harmony, man and woman, the right way, the way that God Almighty wants them to come together in marriage. And these are the things that our brother Imam, they're doing at this Dawah Center. And this is what the Muslims are doing. And we invite you all to this beautiful way of life, the way of life of all the messengers. You can visit us here every week at thedeanshow.com. We have our radio program also at the blog section. And we'll see you next time, God willing. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
No speech is better than to do da'wah, to call people to Allah and to do the work.
No speech is better.
No, nothing is better than that.
Is it true that if one person and Allah giving you the ability to guide someone with Allah's permission, the Creator's permission, that is better than everything in this world?
Better than the whole world and everything that's in it. In another narration, it's better than the best of wealth. But if we really felt that, Eddie, would we not be out giving da'wah?
And this is something that we encourage all the MSAs, all the da'wah organizations, the masjids, to get this. We want to print more. We give these to the non-Muslims for free, for free, for free. We want our brothers in humanity to become our brothers in faith.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart. I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.